Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 12. Of course, I am not alone. With me is a man who I'm sure will now legally be changing his name to Brent the Planet. Brent Wolgamott, how are you?
I died and fell out when she said that, and I was living for her all the more. Like, I thought it was just a nickname, and then when I heard she legally changed her name, I was like, you go, bitch. We love you. And, like, I had a great time with her throughout this entire episode, so it was very fun. Nice to be here.
Yeah, that follow through, like, so committed. I love it.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, and of course, we also have a man, which much like drag brings joy, he brings joy, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you doing?
I am also really, really good. Super duper excited to talk about this episode. The ending, I felt, was like the only appropriate way to end an episode like this. So I feel like this is just like an episode where, you know, you said it's a bit of a happy ending, and we don't really often get those in Drag Race, so I'm excited.
Great. Yeah, well, we will definitely get into everything, including the save, the double save that we got this episode, and all of the makeovers here, which I'm really looking forward to. And then, of course, we will talk a little bit about the episode of Secret Celebrity Drag Race that also aired this week. But let's kick things off and get into what happened after the elimination. There's not a whole lot to talk about here, but, you know, we get a little bit of more of the inner saboteur talk discussing Widow. And we are reminded, of course, Brent, that this is our top six.
Yes, our top six. And it's going to remain our top six for a while.
Mm-hmm. Which is also kind of crazy because I was thinking it's also our top five.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I didn't even think about that, actually. Yeah. Wow. That's we're really close.
Yeah, we're really close. And then also thinking, OK, so if somebody had gone this week, and I guess this will apply to next week, like that is our top four, which is kind of crazy, assuming it's not, you know, SP, but I guess we'll see. OK, well, Amon, did you have anything to say after the elimination? To me, like, not that much going on.
No, I mean, sad to see Widow go, but like I think it was her time, and I think that they sent her off pretty well. So
I think they sent her off pretty well, but I also think that they definitely threw a little dirt on the coffin on the way out the door, because they showed her, like, quote unquote, giving up, which I don't think she was giving up. I think she was just pissed off when she was getting criticism from the judges. And I felt like the editors went out of their way to make sure that we at home felt righteous in the fact that Widow had gone home. Like, they wanted to make sure that we were okay with the fact that Widow had gone home, because let's be real, she was a front runner for a while, and then for her not to win and not even make the top four and not even make, to be honest, the top six, I think that they were probably equally as stunned as we were, and they wanted to make sure that we were not rioting in the streets.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There was a little bit, I mean, Widow did give off a little bit of the self-defeatist attitude, but you're right. They did emphasize, especially the throwing the arms up, or maybe because it was Heidi who was talking about it. But of course, the editors chose to include that. Part of my thought, though, and I had this thought throughout the entire episode, was I think this was a very Sherry Pie heavy episode, especially based on the kind of results of the challenge, like Sherry Pie and Terry Masu, like, looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel like some of the editing was kind of making up for that. So there might be some, I don't know, maybe some weird stuff in there here and there, but whatever. Let's jump into the next day in the workroom, where we get our maxi challenge, which is the super fan makeover. Now, Amon, they did this really cool thing, or at least I thought it was cool, where they put the super fans that were going to be made over kind of in this separate area and said, oh, you're just going to be in the audience, and then tricked them when they brought them into the workroom.
So, I mean, maybe I'm putting on my tin hat, okay? But I always, like, question the validity of shit like this, because you have to sign some sort of release when you agree to go on television. And I feel like there has to be something extra that you're signing if you're also agreeing to potentially have your appearance changed. Or, and obviously, it took place over multiple days. So I feel like,
and like all day over multiple days.
Yeah. Like, I just, like, so maybe they were able to be a little maybe they omitted some things and like they sort of like skated around what was actually going on and skated around the truth. But I have to imagine that they had to know that it wasn't just that they were going to be audience members, because it just was just so much that they committed to in a short period of time.
Let me just live in my fantasy world, Aman. It's definitely real. Well, I thought it was also funny because they put little audience labels on them, which now that I'm thinking about it, that's kind of like, you know, when you're telling a lie and you kind of like add extra onto it to make the lie believable. Maybe that's what they were doing here with the little audience tags.
Yeah, this reminded me of Big Brother Canada when those two people got onto the show instead of our beloved Kirsten McGinnis. And then they said that they were just out of the audience and they'd gotten selected. And how believable was that lie? So no, I wasn't buying this at all. And I was like, yeah, I think what happened was they probably told these people, there's a chance you could be in an episode of Drag Race. And because you have to sign releases and stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's all sorts of things that go into something like this. And then they knew, maybe they thought that they were like a 50-50 shot, like it's them and like there's another group of six, but then they were surprised to learn that it was just them. I think that's possible that happened.
I definitely don't think that they knew that they were going to be the ones that were chosen, but I think, and maybe they didn't even know what the episode was going to entail. Like I would totally believe that. Like maybe they lied about like, oh yeah, you get the chance to be on the show and you get a chance to meet the queens and be like an audience for a specific competition. And then lo and behold, you walk into the workroom and then you are the competition. So I would definitely believe
I don't mean to interrupt. I mean, they have to get it okayed from these people ahead of time that they're okay being a part of Drag Race. Getting into drag and having a drag makeover. Like, and some people may not want to do that. Some people may not want to look silly on camera. I know that Drag Race fans by and large would, but there's always people who are naysayers and you never know. Like they can't tape something like this. And then one of the people is like, actually, I don't really feel comfortable doing this because of X, Y, and Z, my job, my husband, my kids, some whatever. And then have to go back and reshoot something. Like they got this approved ahead of time, so they had to know something. Anyway, that's the magic of TB. Y'all just know.
Okay, well, I'll live in my magical little world. But we do get our wonderful contestants here. I don't really know what to call them, but there are super fans that are going to be made over. We have Bethany, Grace, Janet the Planet, Nicole, Shay, Kool-Aid number two, and Tiffany. So there was some discussion I know online, which I had not heard about, and then watched the episode, had like lots of fun. And then when I was watching or like reading some of the commentary, some people were upset that there were women that were chosen to be made over like super fans. And I was like, well, I don't really get that. Yeah. So I don't know. I just want to like throw it out there that whatever, I don't even know what to make of those comments, because this was just so fun to me. And I'm really happy with the women that they chose for the show.
Yeah. And it was like, it was the whole thing was like about super fans, and gay men aren't the only people that watch this show.
Aman, you know, there's just definitely a segment of the population. And, you know, like I'm not exactly the most absolutely progressive of the gay population, so like I understand where these people are coming from, although I think they're fucking idiots that think that drag is specifically for gay men and that it's always been for gay men and it's just our little thing, and they are very exclusive about it. They are not inclusive about it. And of course we do not agree with that. And drag, it's so fun to watch these women have the time of their lives getting into drag and revealing who they are. And if you can't recognize that, then you're just a little backwards. And come on, get with the program.
Not a little, a lot. Like these are the people that come to your shows and give you money so that you can do this damn shit. So if you want to give them a damn makeover real quick, let it be. Like that's insane to me.
Well, it's like RuPaul says, it's drag. It's not that serious.
Right.
Exactly. You're not. What was it that it was during the presidential?
You're not actually running for president.
You're not actually running for president. So good. And I had a ton of fun. Plus, they've made over family members before, so it was like I don't even care. All right.
No, they don't repeat. Come on.
Well, Jada gets to do the pairing here, so she picks Bethany. And then Crystal. I don't know if this matters. Crystal gets Grace. Sherry Pie gets Janet the Planet. Heidi gets Nicole. Gigi gets Shay Coulee number two, and Jackie gets Tiffany. And it was just, it was so wonderful to see the super fans there, because that's 100% what I would be like. I think it was Crystal Method's girl, Grace, who was like on the verge of tears because she was so excited. That 100% would have been me. But anyway, we get a lot of workroom stuff this episode. So I don't know if there's anything, Aman, that you want to touch on from all of our workroom shenanigans here.
I mean, RuPaul definitely touches on it in the end of the episode, but I think Jada did a pretty good job here. I feel like she matched everybody up with somebody that was matching their energy, and all of them were very excited to be there. And I was happy. I was surprised at first that she didn't choose. I'm forgetting the super fan's name. I'm surprised that she didn't choose the black woman, because as far as makeup is concerned, that can be a bit of a challenge if you're not used to using paint that's not of your shade. But I'm glad that if she wasn't going to get her, then she did at least give her to Heidi, so Heidi wouldn't have to worry about the makeup at least. But I think outside of that, like, she did a pretty good job of matching everybody up. I think that everybody was kind of perfect.
Yeah, so. I agree about that. I'm also forgetting their names. I know you said them, Liana. While I'm talking, do you think that you could type them in our little Skype chat? Because I forget. Like, I mean, I remember Tiffany with...
I remember Janet the Planet. That's all I remember.
Yeah, exactly. I remember Janet the Planet with Sherry Pie. And I remember Tiffany with our girl Jackie. But everyone else, it was just like, who are you again? I love you, but who are you again? All right, we got it.
Yes. So
thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. I have their drag names later.
Oh, that's okay. But I can remember. Actually, I remember their drag names far more than I do their real names.
Yeah, because they called them more by their drag names than they did by their real names. Especially because how do you forget Snacky Cox?
Those Snacky Cox.
Snacky Cox. Yeah, like the girl could do the splits. I was so impressed.
I know. She was living. Yes, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, we get, we get Gigi with the furry helmets, which as soon as I saw the furry helmets, I was like, more hats.
Yeah, here we go.
I think one of the biggest stories here is really Janet the Planet, which I know we talked about a little bit before, but, you know, especially through the workroom, we get her talking to RuPaul, talking about being 6 foot tall. And the fact that she legally changed her name to Janet the Planet. I mean, she just seems like such an interesting person. And I kind of wish, even though we got to know her, I wish we had gotten to know her even more.
Yeah, that's insane to me. Actually, I think somebody that's a fan of our show, I know she's a fan of RHAP. I think I saw her tweet during the episode that she actually used to work with Janet the Planet. So I'll have to ask her about Janet. But yeah, she seems to be the most well-versed in not just Drag Race, but the art of drag itself. And I'm like, what a shitty deal that it ended up being for her, and that she was the one that was paired with Sherry Pie. Like, she's the reason that Sherry Pie even got screen time. Like, if it wasn't for her, like, they would have just been going about their business as usual when it comes to editing her out. But I really did find her very compelling, to the point where I actually was like, can we just replace Sherry with her? Because I'd be much more invested in her as a competitor.
Yeah, she was great. I agree. She was so intriguing to me. I just wanted to spend more time with her. I think that literally the people that produce RuPaul's Drag Race could do something with Janet the Planet on a web series. And I would totally sign up for it and watch it. She had such a vibrant, fun personality and she seems totally comfortable in her own skin. But you also feel like that she's a bit of an old soul who it wasn't always comfortable in her own skin, which I in some ways can identify with. Like, I love people like that, that have faced their demons and come out stronger for it in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she did
absolutely
seem very, very like while she was excited to be there, she wasn't like in your face like, oh my god, I'm a super fan, yes, I'm passionate about Drag Race. It was very like, oh, I'm so excited to be here. I know everything about all of you guys. I'm so supportive of all of this. I cannot wait to get dressed up. It's going to be so fun,
Liana.
Yeah,
if we ever need a super fan impression, we know who to go to.
Yes, perfectly encapsulates it. I love it. Yeah, no Frankie Grande for sure. Perfect, the perfect super fan. Yeah, I thought it was good. I think the other sort of main story that we get here is with Heidi's super fan, Nicole, and sort of talking about her insecurities. And I thought that this was really great, especially with the work through where Rue says, you know, you are not born to blend in, you are born to stand out. And this concept of drag bringing joy, I thought was just really cool. Like, Aman, you said this at the beginning of the episode, but this episode was kind of a very like warm, heartfelt episode all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. This episode was packed with a lot of emotion, and I was kind of shocked that we did get to see as much content from the superfans as we did, because sometimes when we have these makeover episodes, they don't really focus too much on the people that are getting made over. They just tend to focus more about the queens and what their perspective is. But we damn near got like pretty much confessionals from these super fans. And I thought that it just gave a lot more context to the competition, and to just like, I don't know, it just sort of like took you out of the competition a bit, you know, like, because Heidi sort of had to like have two jobs in this episode. She not only had to be a Drag Race contestant, but she also had to be a bit of a therapist when it came to Nicole, and like sort of like trying to meet in the middle with her. And I don't know if I'm jumping the gun a little bit when I mention this, but Heidi does actually share the makeover look that she intended on bringing to the competition. So I guess that they told them all that they were doing makeovers, like any other competition, and she had everything set up. But of course, because Nicole was a little bigger, the outfit that she brought like was not going to fit her. So that's why I'm like, when I say that this episode has a happy ending, I sort of like, I kind of sympathize with Heidi in the situation, because she brought stuff, but she couldn't use it because of the way that production ended up, you know, handling the show. So I was happy that she was at least able to like get one more chance at the very end. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I didn't know that. I mean, I kind of made the assumption that that was the case, but we can talk about it with some of the judging comments too. I just thought this was like really well handled, kind of the way that they did the whole thing. So, All right, Brent, is there anything else you want to talk about before we just jump into the runway?
Nope. Let's jump in.
Let's jump. Okay. Daisy Ridley was our guest judge here, who is a huge fan, which I didn't know. I thought that was cool. And I thought, Aman, that she did a pretty good job as our guest judge this week.
I love Daisy. Literally every time she came on the screen, I was like, Daisy, I'm such a big Daisy Ridley fan. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I think Brent is too. So it was great to see this like sort of crossing over of worlds. And I think that she also was a little similar to Nicki Minaj, and that she was a little bit more cerebral than I thought that she was going to be. She seemed to really, really watch these queens and really offer up some thoughtful and insightful critique. So I was happy that Daisy Ridley was asked to be a part of this episode.
Yes, there's no one who is more of a fan of Daisy Ridley than me, only because I remember the excitement that I felt after watching Star Wars Episode 7 and what I thought could have happened to her character. Obviously, I hated Episodes 8 and mostly 9. I mean, that 9 was okay, but I didn't love what they did with her character in particular. Mm-hmm. I don't love where they took her character overall. In some ways, I have like some unrequited feelings for Daisy Ridley of what I thought she could have been. So watching her on this episode of Drag Race and getting to know her a little bit more, even when she was not necessarily in line with the panel, I thought was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was good. And I thought that her just general being excited fit with the whole theme of this episode.
And it felt authentic.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it didn't feel put on. It definitely felt authentic. Okay, Brent, tell me all about Heidi Aphrodite and Honey Almighty.
First of all, if there's going to be a name that sticks other than Heidi in Closet, this is the one. I love this name. I like there. Boy, this works. Heidi Aphrodite. I'm a huge fan of Mira Sorvino. She won an Oscar for Mighty Aphrodite, if you don't know the reference. And I love the fact that they're spelling it A-F-R-O, because obviously the original is Mighty Aphrodite, which refers to the I don't know if it's the Roman goddess or the forget. Great. Thank you. Okay. Goddess of love, I think. Yeah. I've never got those straight, by the way. But yes, I love this name and I loved this pairing. But my goodness, when they walked out on the runway, I was like, where is the family resemblance? And they were giving her so much praise in the beginning during the judging. I thought for sure they weren't going to say anything. I thought it was just going to be like, yeah, we love you. You're amazing, Heidi. You're great. And Nicole, you're fabulous. You're working it, girl. We love you. And then that's it. But they gave her all of that. And then they said, now let's talk about the family resemblance. And then I was like, thank you, because they're saying what we all are thinking at home, which is this doesn't look remotely from the same house of drag. I mean, what is this? Like, I thought that she should have been in the bottom for the design of the outfits alone. And obviously it makes a lot more sense, Amon, after you said what you said, because, you know, for instance, that Sherry Pie doesn't just happen to have, two tiramisu or whatever the hell outfits in her bag on accident. Like, she knew they were going to do a makeover challenge, so she brought those kind of things with her. But something like this, where Heidi has to use outfits or materials that are not from some stuff that she previously bought or brought with her, is a part of the reason why we get some uneven results at the end of this challenge with regard to these two. But I'm really glad that the judges called it out, because it did not look like there was any resemblance whatsoever, not even makeup wise.
I was interested to see how Heidi was going to fare with this family resemblance thing, because she's had such a struggle with her makeup this entire time that it's like she doesn't even know what she looks like. You know what I mean? Like, she's recreating and experimenting with her own makeup throughout the entire competition. Yeah. So by the time you have to get to somebody else to do the same thing, it's like it's going to be, you're still in experimental stages, so it's going to be a little bit different. So it definitely came across. And while I sympathize with the look, her having to rearrange things because it's not what she intended, what she did show on her Twitter wasn't what she wore either. So I don't understand the choice that she made in dousing herself in sequins and then giving Nicole pretty much a doily to wear. It's either both of you are going to be wearing sequins, or both of you are going to be wearing doilies. Like, if you're not going to be together in the face, you at least need to be together in the clothes.
Yeah, she looked like the pretty, the worst part about this to me was that Heidi looked like the pretty sister because of the sequins and the gown. And then that Nicole wasn't getting the same amount of treatment. I wish they had been a little bit more honest on the runway about it. Like, why do you have your partner not looking as good as you, Heidi? That's what I wanted them to say.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was challenging because her partner, Honey, or what was her, Nicole, was dealing with those insecurities. And it's so hard because I'm just putting myself in the judge's seat. I want to critique Heidi. So how do I make it come across as I'm critiquing Heidi and not Honey? And it's a really sort of fine line to walk. Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why, the critiques went the way they went for Heidi and Honey, because of that whole situation. But I completely agree. When they walked out, I was like, what am I looking at? Okay, the hair looks sort of similar. Makeup, I thought, actually looked sort of similar, at least in a passable way. But to me, the outfits were very, 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 very different. And so, like you said, Amon, if she's going to have to scramble and find something else, then it seems like an odd choice to be so incredibly distinct, unless that was maybe the only thing that she could do.
And you could tell, Amon, that RuPaul was annoyed by calling out Heidi about, where did the time go? Like, what did you do? Yeah. That was Ru. Like, Ru was being funny about it, but Ru was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was talking about this with my roommate as we were watching too, because if you tell them ahead of time that there's going to be a makeover challenge, right, and you allow them to bring similar looks for that week, how much time are you actually giving them? I'm not saying that there was no time, but I was like, a piece of me wondered if RuPaul was giving Heidi a harder of a time than it was appropriate to, because if you're allowing them to bring stuff ahead of time, which is exactly what all the rest of them did, then did they really, how much time did any of them spend doing anything besides talking?
I think that's a valid critique. I think, though, the problem was that Heidi's answer was, I got to know her and we talked about disco. And Ru was like, yeah, I know. I learned that in the walkthrough. Like, if Heidi's response had been, we had to come up with a concept, I couldn't use the outfits that I had brought, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if there had been maybe a more, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to see a realistic answer, but also at the same time, you have Honey who really has some insecurity and you don't want to maybe say on the runway, hey, I couldn't use the outfit because she's a different size. Like, that, to point that on the runway might be really hard. And if Heidi is trying to have empathy for Honey, it's hard to do that. So I think it's a really tight rope to walk.
Yeah, it was.
But the gap in the teeth thing, though, now that I'm looking
at it, yeah, like, they really should have.
Yeah, I was like, oh, see, that's like a totally easy one. That was a detail that was missed that I think I can understand, like, getting some serious critiques for. So especially when we have such a amazing top six that we're dealing with here, you know, it does come down to those little details, which is kind of what happens with Jackie and Snacky Cox. It's not that Jackie, I think, did something inherently wrong. It's just maybe it's not up to snuff compared to some of the other looks that we see on the runway this week.
It's serviceable, you know what I mean? Ever since I've heard Brent use that word, I use it all the time. But it's like, I think they look great from the neck up, you know, and I definitely see a bit of a family resemblance. I see like some of the little, I'm not good with makeup terminology, but the stuff around the eyes, I could see what she was doing there. And I mean, she really lucked out in getting the partner that she did, because I think she was probably like the most charismatic out of any of them. Maybe with the exception of Janet the Planet. And she was just like so ready to just dive in that I think that her energy really helped sell what might not be a particularly stellar look. But because the energy was, because of the fact that we're so down to the wire, it still is going to like not end up working in Jackie's favor. But I feel like if this competition had taken place a little earlier in the competition, I wonder if Jackie would still be in the bottom.
Hmm. Brent, what did you think about Jackie and Snacky this week?
Boy, I did not care for this. I thought this was worse than what they were giving them credit for. I thought that the drag looked really small. Really small. Like, there was nothing big and fun about it. Like, she was in, like, a waitress cocktail dress. Like, there wasn't a lot to it. It was what Ross said, where, yeah, it, like, for first of all, I do not believe it was good. But if you're going to go with the thought that it's good, then this was good. Everything else or everyone else was trying to be great. And I really felt like Jackie just mailed it in here. Like, okay, a pantsuit and a cocktail dress. That's what you're doing for your family resemblance. And like, I thought that the hair actually was the worst part of it. The hair looks like helmet hair. It looks like it's literally been sprayed with Aquanet and frozen in place. Like, there's no body or movement. And I don't even particularly care for the shape of it. Like, we always talk about how Gigi has like helmets, but this looked like helmet hair. Like, it did not look good. The makeup, I don't think, is even close. And I don't even
really,
I really don't think it is. Maybe around the eyes a little bit, but like, I don't feel like they look. I feel like the eye makeup, the eyeshadow on Jackie is so much heavier than what is on what's her name? I'm looking, Tiffany. And the outfits, while there is a little bit of mirroring with the coloring, it doesn't quite do it for me because the outfits are dissimilar. Like, in order for mirroring to work, the outfits have to be like the same shape or the same size. Like where Sherry Pies is like red and gold and red. And they're the same type. And you look at them and you get it. But this, I thought she looked like, I thought it looked like Jackie was the fun, rich sister. And it looked like Tiffany was the less fun, less sexy one. Is anyone else getting that?
Now all I can see is helmet hair on Snacky. So like, that critique 100% agree with. I think there's a little bit more. I guess they do. They kind of look like second cousins. Like, they are family, but a little bit more distant. The bangles are the same. The earrings look very similar. The nails are the same. I can see the critique about the eyeshadow being a little bit heavier on Jackie, but the pattern and the color palettes look the same. I do wonder if how much, so let's say, you know, you're going to have to make somebody over and you don't know exactly the size that person is going to be. Maybe your outfit decisions are sort of influenced by that. So maybe Jackie was like, oh, this is an outfit because it's shorts, so you can easily tailor the length of the shorts if needed, or the like, there's some reason for that. Also,
is it
like
shorts? I'm sorry. I thought it was a like mini skirt. So it's actually shorts.
For shorts. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
She does a split.
You're right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Well, whatever. I still hate it. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's shorts or not. That's even worse. You're wearing shorts on the runway of RuPaul's Drag Race. All right.
So did you think then, Aman, that these two were the clear bottom two looks, with Heidi and Jackie being in the bottom two?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately. I really think that there could have been a case made for Gigi, because if you want to talk about mailing it in, that's straight up mailing it in. Like, that's like, I mean, I guess it was kind of smart on her end in a way, because she created such a big look that no matter what size somebody was, it probably would fit most people. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing to that look. I mean, even the makeup was just like, okay, I didn't get it from Gigi. I, however, did get something from Jackie from the neck up, because I take the critique about the outfits. I do. Mm-hmm. The helmet hair, I don't necessarily see, because whenever queens go for like a 70s look, they always go for this helmet hair. Like, I remember Valentina wore something similar on season 9 and got such praise from the judges for it. Like, with the same kind of wig. So like, I just kind of thought that was just like a 70s drag wig in my mind. So I didn't take any offense to that. But I mean, I guess, like I said before, when it's down to the wire like this, I can see why she was placed in the bottom. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I emphatically said that these were the two bottom pairs. We might as well just talk about Gigi next, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, let's do it.
I am annoyed about the judging and the way things went at the end of this, because Gigi was fourth here. She was in the bottom. Okay. She was clearly, in my eyes, the number three out of 1, 2, 3 at the bottom. And Rue called her safe right away, which is going to lead her to believe that, there were four tops and two bottoms. No, bitch, you were in the bottom. And I hope that after watching this episode back, she realizes that she was in the bottom once again, because it does annoy me. Like, I feel like they really gave her a pass. I love the fact that, oh God, what's her face? The girl from Star Wars on the panel, Daisy Ridley. Sorry. I blanked on her name for a second. I love that she basically admitted to being pressured to go along with the panel, and she still wouldn't. She was like, I guess it's like an unpopular opinion, but I was not a big fan of this. And then you have Ross just like defending it to no end. They just love Gigi Good. They're still sucking her dick. So, well, like, whatever. I apparently she can do no wrong. Like I said, Rue even called her safe. Like, they didn't even make her sweat at the end, which is what I wanted. I wanted them to make Gigi sweat again and realize, hey, there are people who are doing better than you in the competition right now. As far as the looks go, with Gigi, I think that the makeup is smart and the outfits are smart, but this is like the equivalent of the kid in grade school who turns in a blank piece of paper when asked for an essay answer by the teacher, and then says, actually, that was my answer, because like, the world means nothing. Like, you know, like, it was like, okay, like, oh, that's smart, but yet I'm still annoyed by it. So that's where I'm at with.
Yeah, I completely agree. It did give me very much Alaska in All Stars season 2 vibes, maybe just because it was black and white, but it was like, this very much feels like you're phoning it in. Like, what is going, like, okay, the makeup skills, I get it. Like, Gigi is gorgeous, but I think it was Jada who even said, like, Shay is gorgeous. So you put a gorgeous girl in makeup, she's going to look gorgeous. Like, that's the way that works. So I really, really wish that they had made it clear that she was in the bottom here, Aman.
Especially considering what everybody else brought to this.
And especially considering what she said last week. They showed that to us for a reason. And then it was like, they're going to give her a pass?
Yeah.
Because it's gorgeous. Oh, my God.
Remember she said last week, I will not be in the bottom again. And yet she was. And we got no payoff for that whatsoever.
Yeah, she should have been in the bottom here. I mean, not the bottom two necessarily.
Yes,
because
not the bottom two. The bottom.
The right two. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But the bottom. Just like, come on. That's not fair that you can get away with this. Now, she talked, I think, a little bit in Untucked about how, I was hoping that this would be, you know, my mom and I would get to do this together. But I think she was prepared regardless for whomever, like, this outfit would work, right? I'm like pretty much anybody. So. Anyway, fine. Gigi Good and BB Bad also, which
I can't. They were going gaga over that. And I was like, that's just so on the nose. I feel sick.
I wrote boring.
Boring.
See, you know, I kind of like that one.
You are. Yeah, I forgot. Remember, he's recapping Glee. He likes stuff like this. Yeah. To be honest.
That's okay. You love what you love, Amon.
I thought it was so like stupid, but like it makes me chuckle, and I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Puya was watching the episode with me, and he was like, "Oh my god, she's gonna be BB Bad." And then when that was the name, he's like, "I so called it." It's like I'm the best. I was like, "Okay, honey, like sit down."
It's like Ruth says, "Don't try and reinvent the wheel." You know, like just sometimes the best answer is the most common. So.
Yes, that's right. The wheel is fine. Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back. Well, let's jump back to Jada and Jazz Essence Hall of the Essence Hall family. And Jada ended up winning this week, Brent. Did you think that this was deserved?
Yes, and I was really glad it didn't go to Sherry Pie. Yeah, I was really worried it was going to go to Sherry Pie. And because remember, at the time that they taped all this, they didn't know what was happening with Sherry Pie. Like, they could have given her the win and the queens would have been fine with it and they would have celebrated it. And like, we would have felt really icky at the end of the episode. I felt like this was the clear winner. And I was nervous that they wouldn't give her the win because she got the win last week. And it's not often on RuPaul's Drag Race that they give people back-to-back wins. And she is phenomenal. She is amazing. Jada, like, I stand you. Like, I swear to God, Jada better win this season. She better win because she is absolutely amazing. The fact that she can take a girl who looks so unlike her, and yes, she's pretty, but she doesn't look like her. She's a white girl. And at that, she is an unsteady white girl who has never really walked in heels very much, didn't really like them, and kind of fought Jada the entire way to the point where these other queens had ladies with them who were like, yes, I'm here. I want to live my fantasy. And Jada wasn't getting that. And I'm sure she might have regretted her choice a little bit at the beginning where her partner was a little bit more introspective and, you know, had opinions of her own and wanted to make those opinions known. And Jada is a firm enough queen where she was like, no, we're doing it this way. This is how you got to do. And if you're worried about it, then you're already defeated. Like, Jada doesn't come from the school of Widow Von Du, where they ask Widow, why were you wearing the biscuits every week? And she was like, I was just prepared to, in case I needed to lip sync, I wanted to be able to dance. And they were like, you're preparing to fail. Jada does not prepare to fail. She came to win. She shoots for the stars. And I like if she was playing a reality show, like not like a competitive reality show, like Big Brother or Survivor, she would be like the Tony, because she would be a big baller player. She wants to go out there and absolutely kill it each and every time. She doesn't care if she becomes a bigger and bigger target. This was phenomenal because I couldn't believe she made this. And not only that, for the makeup to look as good as it does with the wig skills that she has to make that look like, seriously, how do you make this white bitch look like family to you? How, and then that's just phenomenal to me. I'm sorry, I keep using that word phenomenal because she's just so amazing. And the fact that she was basically our narrator throughout this entire episode and giving us opinions on everybody else and telling us about her struggles with her own super fan. And she was also like, I'm like the drag queen to the super fans because I'm babysitting them. You're welcome. It's like, she's so funny. She can do no wrong in my eyes. I can't wait to see her win this.
I'm just picturing Jada up in a tree in her spy nest because I can't get the Jada-Tony comparison out of my head. Amon, well, how did you feel about Jada this week?
Okay, so I think that Jada won the week. I don't know if she won this challenge. Definitely in the top. definitely should be commended for the fact that, yes, you got a chocolate woman and you got a vanilla woman standing next to each other, and you can still see the resemblance. And the fact that we got to see so much of her coaching Bethany through this. And like you said, Brent, like, she was like, no, we are doing this to win. Like, she did not let up. Like, Bethany was like, I don't know about these heels. And like, yeah. I feel like if it were any other queen, they might have like let their super fan talk them out of making them go all the way with their vision. But Jada was like, no, I chose you. You're going to do this. I know that there's something deep inside of you that has it in you. Like, we're not, no, like, let's get our shit together. And I loved that, because I was like, you would think, oh, super fan, you want to take it easy on them. They didn't sign up for this like you did. Well, actually, no, they did sign up for this. I'm sure they signed something back there, right, saying like, you're going to get made over. So be prepared. So you're here. So you might as well make the best of it. So I believe that Jada was the star of this episode. And yes, I agree. The whole little bit about her babysitting kids and talking to the other super fans and trying to make sure they had a great experience. I liked that, because I liked that she was about her business, but she also was able to recognize, I mean, these are just normal people that are just on the show with us to have there to have a good time. Let's show them a good time. So I think that she had a fantastic edit, and I'm not complaining about her winning, because what it does now is tie her up with Gigi Good, and that makes things interesting for the end of the season.
Very interesting.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if she won this for me, but I'm not mad that she did.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with Amon a little bit more. I love Jada, and I want her to win this season. Like, if you made me pick somebody right now that needs to win RuPaul's Drag Race this season, like, Jada is the first name that would come out of my mouth, because the fact that she, like Brent, like you said, was able to make this white bitch look like her is absolutely amazing. And not only that, but Jada's attitude just makes me so freaking happy inside. Yep. Like, Jada's, I will, you know, I'm like going to pick myself up. Like, we're going to work through this. We got this. We're going to do this. And the appreciation that she gave for, you know, being able to make over the super fans and be there and be supportive is just phenomenal and out of this world. Like, I absolutely love it. And of course, like, the looks this week, gorgeous, makeup, gorgeous. She is gorgeous. However, who I think should have won this week, and I'm curious, Amon, if you and I had the same thought, was Crystal Method. Because I think the fact that Crystal did this freaking gender flipped Bert and Ernie look is insane. Like, there's something so incredibly artistic about what she did this week that, for me, I think pushes her a little bit over the edge. And I think I would have been given the win this week to Crystal Method. I don't know who to go to. Okay, Amon, yes.
I agree 100,000%. Give it to the weird queen this week. Give her her coins. She absolutely deserved it. She took it outside of the box, but it wasn't too outside of the box that you were like, what fucking box is this? You understood immediately what she was going for. The makeup, it looked, and the people were in the Untucked, they were like, I'm not sure which one is Crystal and which one is Opal. And I agree. Like, you couldn't tell, like, because the makeup is so heavy, but it worked. I mean, you had a gender flipped Ernie and Bert, two people that are considered to be iconic LGBT characters, but not entirely, because it's never been confirmed. So the fact that she was able to just, you know what, let me just have my own interpretation of them. This is like, these are the iconic LGBT characters that we know and love, and I'm going to give it to you in this special point of view. And I love the fact that their faces were painted, and I love the fact that their arms were fabric. All of the jewelry, all of the details, the flannel, how did she find those shirts? How did she find those are the exact same colors that Bert and Ernie wear. Everything was just perfect. And the way that they committed to it on stage and everything, it's just something that you just did not expect. And I think that she delivered, and it was clear, and it was concise, and it was succinct, and it was a point of view that you don't often see. And yeah, maybe you don't always want to give it to the word community. Like, this show has, sometimes it has issues with giving shit to weird queens. Like, we just crowned a weird winner, so maybe they're kind of all weirded out and they're looking for the next best thing, which I don't know why that would be Gigi Good, or whatever. I just feel like this is like this that was drag. That was ultimate drag this week. And I think she clearly deserved the win this time around.
Brent,
Yeah, I can't agree with that. And I respect you guys' opinion. I'm you know, it's fine. It's fine. I thought she was clearly 3 of 3. I thought she was in the top, but she was number 3 for me. And this is the reason why, because it didn't read as drag to me. It read as costume. And maybe you don't care that there's, in my eyes, a difference between those two, but I think there is a noticeable, definable difference between a Halloween costume and drag. And this felt like a Halloween costume with the makeup. It did not feel like it took, and don't come for me, the same amount of effort that Jada Essence Hall, that makeup skills with her queen to make her look like she came from the same family without plastering it onto her. I thought that was far and above what Crystal Method was doing here. And I also would take issue with the fact that a mom was like, you clearly know what's going on here. Obviously not, because Ross had to ask, like, what the fuck am I looking at? So I don't think that that's necessarily true.
But he asked it in a good way. He
didn't in a fun way. They were fun. Yeah. Again, I'm not coming for you. It's not like they failed the challenge. They did amazingly well. I had a great time with it. And it's not, I also take issue with the fact that a mom's like, well, it's outside the box, but it's not so far outside the box. Like, no, honey, this is like down the block and off the street to the check cashing place. Like, this is like so far away from the box that it's not in the universe. But it's still fun. It's just that I don't think it's the winner. And that's okay. Like, I felt like this, like, to me, this was okay. They were applauding Crystal for them always saying, you know what, we say when you come on RuPaul's Drag Race to show us who you are. But I also felt like this was the easy thing for Crystal to do something like this, to do the heavy, more clown realness that she veers to sometimes, which, to be fair, she has been getting away from in recent weeks, and we've been loving from her. So I guess I'm going to stand her because she is a queen of makeup skills and can basically do anything, but I wasn't as impressed by you guys, but I still loved it.
I think for me, do you guys ever have, like, sometimes you see a piece of artwork, like in a museum or in a store or something, and you're like, I don't know why I love this and I can't stop staring at it. That's kind of how I feel about this. Like, Brent, I can understand where you're coming from with the, like, what is the, you know, the line between something that is maybe more on the costume side versus more in the drag world. But for me, I don't know. I love the art of this. And I love the fact that she was able to contour with different colors of yellow or different colors of orange. Like, that is a drag makeup skill, I think, is super impressive.
The audacity of it is amazing to me. The fact that I didn't even notice before that the arms are covered with cloth like Bert and Ernie. That is so fucking cool.
Yes.
Of something like that. So just on sheer audacity alone, like, I understand why she's challenging for the win here. Again, for me, I would have gone with Jada, but I wouldn't be mad if this was the winner, if that's what they ended up going with. But they would have, I feel like if she was going to be the winner, they would have needed to give me a few more editing cues. Like, I knew she wasn't the winner by the way the editing was going, which in some ways I'm kind of a little bitter about, because I would have liked, like, I basically knew it was between Cherry Pie and Jada. And I was like, basically at the end, I was like, thank God it's not Cherry Pie. Like, I wasn't owning the fact that Crystal wasn't amongst the top.
I really just thought that it was a feast. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought that there was just so much to chew on, and it was just, it was a little just invigorating. And sure, it's a little bit on the costumey side, but Crystal Method is on the costumey side. And if there was anything that she was going to do to make somebody else over, like, I would never have thought that it would be this. You know what I mean? Because while Jada did a fantastic job, it's like, I don't remember it the way that I remember Crystal Method's job. And the same thing for Cherry Pie. Like, Cherry Pie did a fantastic job with that makeup, because that did not look like Janet. It did not. It looked like Cherry Pie's little sister. It really did. So she did a fantastic job as far as, like, family resemblance goes. But I just think that Crystal sort of just, like, took that extra step that none of the other queens did. And that's what's setting it apart for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely outside of the box, or the Sesame Street, I guess. And just as a note, before we talk about Sherry Pie briefly, Mike Bloom did message me and he said, if we ever do a live RHAP B&B show, we are dressing like this. So Mike also apparently very obsessed and with his look.
Also, the fact that Crystal Method had such a great partner in Grace, where she was just living her best life out there. Like, a lot of the other bitches, I think, would not have been so enamored about being, like, painted like Bert from Bert and Ernie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think a lot of them would have been, like, so hip to this.
I'm also probably biased for that, too. Like, I fucking loved Sesame Street as a kid. Like, I was obsessed. So I'm sure that has a little bit to do with all this, too.
I'm shocked. Yeah. The Disney gay loves Sesame Street.
I love Sesame Street.
Love it. No, I do. I do wonder, though, like, if that had been me, like, what would my reaction have been? Because I was waiting for that a little nervously of, you know, if Grace had been like, what the fuck? Like, why am I yellow? I'm
a drag queen and I'm looking like I look like a clown. But nope, she didn't do that.
Okay, well, let's talk about Sherry Pie and Tiramisu, Brent, because they did look, as Amon pointed out, exactly the same.
They looked so alike, I couldn't tell who was who. Like, they came out and I really couldn't tell who's Sherry and who's not. I really couldn't. I literally had to, like, okay, wait, that's Sherry, right? Okay, yeah, that's Sherry. Like, it took me a second. It was so amazing. I hate giving Sherry Pie props and like, we don't have to spend very much time on her, but god damn, this looked good. She gave Janet the Planet all the family resemblance in the world, and like, I really thought for a moment that she might be the winner.
That's talent right there, to be able to do that to somebody's face and just completely transform their image that way. And they had like a little shtick as well with being waitresses and having the little props on stage with them. And you know, during the walkthrough, RuPaul really, you know, stressed to her that she registers as old and how it's important for her to sort of shed that image. And I didn't get old from the two of them. You know what I mean? I definitely got older time, which is a signature Sherry Pie, as Ross is going to point out. But I didn't get old when they came down. I got, you know, two waitresses in the diner taking orders and they looked related. And I think that she sort of nailed it. So she did a good job.
Yeah, they looked related in the sense that they look like identical twins. Because like, that's the one comment that I will give. Like, I really honestly could not tell them apart.
Yeah.
Okay, so the superfan lip sync is what we get next, which I thought was kind of like it was fine. I kind of zoned out during it, but the women looked like they were having fun, which is great. Opal seriously killed it. Like, I thought she did amazing.
She was feeling it,
but it was a little bit like, oh, Shantae, you all stay. So very sweet.
Yeah, I personally said that. I was like, oh, they're not eliminating somebody. And then I'm like, oh, they're just talking about the super fans.
Oh my God. I had a friend text me that was like, hey, like, let me know as soon as you watch the episode. And so when this started, the lip sync started, I was like, if they do some freaking shenanigans where like the super fan lip syncs and like somebody goes home because of the super fan or something, so I was prepared to be completely gagged by like some twist. Turns out it was just a double save. It was like, oh, thank God.
Right. That would be some shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would have died. Okay, well, Jada wins the challenge here, which, like, you guys pointed out, her third win, which, go girl. And then we have the lip sync between Heidi and Jackie. Amon, how did you feel like this went? Do you think that, I don't know, how'd you feel about this whole thing?
I thought it was good. Sometimes with these double Shantays, and they don't happen often, but the thing that sometimes worries me about them is, like, was somebody the clear winner here? And because of the fact of how scheduling works, this is going to be a double Shantae anyway, but now it's bad because somebody clearly should have gone home and you just had to sort of like edit it the best way that you could. But I didn't get that vibe. I honestly felt like the two of them approached this lip sync from two different point of views. I mean, you got Jackie doing the comedy routine, which it sometimes could register as like a bit of a cop-out, or as like, you either do too much and it's like, okay, like, this is just, you're not taking this seriously. I think that she did a good job. And, you know, Heidi's a dancing queen, so she's always going to turn it out. So I think that it was a pretty levelly matched lip sync. So I kind of saw the double Shantae coming. A bit of it had to do with, like, I knew where the finale was supposed to land. So I was like, hold up. the numbers aren't adding up. So something's about to happen. But I also wasn't like, I wasn't able to tell. I was like seriously like wondering like who the fuck is going to go home, because the two of them are really like neck and neck right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could tell. I think that Amon's right. It was built into the episode. Whenever you have like this kind of an amazing song as the lip sync, the show is preparing, because they know that there are just certain songs that like drag queens are always going to kill. And this was killed by both of them. They were really, really good. And I knew instantly once they told Heidi that she was safe, I knew that Jackie was also safe, because they gave Jackie that praise on the judging panel when Michelle was like, she was like freaking Gilda Radner up there. Like, they wouldn't have left that in if they were about to eliminate her. So yeah, you knew that Jackie was safe. I was just waiting for RuPaul to say it. They also did it in a different way. Usually RuPaul's like, Shantae, you both stay. But this time she was like, Heidi, you stay. Jackie, girl, it's been fun. We liked your magical Merkin tour. And we're about to get a little bit more of it, because Shantae, you stay. Like, I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, I guess she did it to like really shake her. I guess she wanted Jackie to really feel the pressure of it all, because she'd just been in the bottom already. So
yeah, I was still living in my fantasy world where I thought that the super fans had no idea they're being made over. So I was like, oh no, like she's going to go home. I was, you know, because even they had the hug where Heidi, you know, got to walk all the way to the back. And like you guys talked about, you know, they did the whole thing. It was like, oh, that's so sad. And then, of course, it was a non-elimination. I thought the lip sync was a lot of fun because of the sort of two different approaches. The one thing I could not stop staring at, though, was Heidi with those sleeves when she was like windmilling them around. I thought that was so
I know
fun.
She was trying to get her Coco Montrese
Yeah, that was I couldn't stop staring at that. I also couldn't stop staring at Heidi's wig line. I kept like, she was whipping that hair around everywhere. I kept waiting for it to fall off. The fact that she had that shit pinned and taped in there so well, girl, I give you major props for, because I can't stand it when wigs fly up on the runway during the lip syncs. And the fact that she was working her ass off and it still stayed on her head, girl, you better work.
Mm-hmm, completely agree. And Jackie doing the humor like Gilda Radner approach, I thought was also pretty fun. It made like a neat contrast with the two different approaches, and for an amazing song. So here we are with a non-elimination episode. We are still at our top 6/5, and we will next week most likely be down to our top 5/4, which could be pretty like, oh my God, I don't even know what to think or how to feel.
Yeah, but I literally don't even know what's going to happen now. Like, I feel like this double Shantae was like a bit of a reset in my brain. Like, I feel like obviously not all of them are on the same playing field, but I honestly feel like it's sort of anybody's game, especially with what we know about Sherry Pie. So this is actually, I mean, I was sort of bummed at the beginning of the season because like, oh my God, the Sherry Pie is just going to like ruin everything. But now that we know she's pretty much a non-factor from here on out, I'm like, this is interesting again. What's going to happen?
Yeah. And I agree with such a solid group of girls. This has been a really fun season, you know, given what happened, obviously.
Yeah. Just really quickly, I don't mean to interrupt, but Sherry Pie, you know, we obviously know is not going to make the grand finale. So this is striking to me because we're at the top 6, and that means that two of Jackie, Heidi, and Crystal Method are going to make the final four if they do a final four, like because Sherry Pie isn't there, and so and somebody else isn't there, so only one of them cannot be there. That means two of them are going to be there if they do a top four.
So whoever goes home next episode is essentially that's it.
I'm
what the final four is.
I mean, well, there's a part of me that's like, are they going to do like a top three? Like, you know, like I could see Rue doing like a fucked up top three, but I really hope they do a top four.
It's kind of like really, really up in the air because we don't even know what they're going to do in terms of filming because
that's true.
It's a shutdown. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
it's
right. So that's I mean, these are all like good points because let's work through it. Right. So let's assume we lose someone next week and then we lose someone the week after. So then does that group of four, do they become the top three? Because like Amon's, you know, you pointed out, we don't know what the finale is going to look like unless any of you guys have any insight. I think Mike Bloom actually put up a poll a while ago. I don't know where it is. He tweets so much, but it was like, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be an announcement? Do you think that there's actually going to be some sort of lip sync competition?
I think they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. Let's be real. Like they're like us. They're just like waiting for the world to reopen.
Mm-hmm. This is just like just pure speculation on my part. But if I had to guess, I would assume that they would probably follow the lead of other reality shows like Survivor that are choosing to do virtual finales. And so they'll do that. But I could see something like, because virtual drag shows are all the rage nowadays because no one can go out to the clubs. So I wouldn't be surprised if these queens that are in the finale have like a small team of people that get put together to create lip sync performances. Because Gigi Good was already doing that, like as soon as like the shutdown happened. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Final Four and they all independently create their own lip syncs. And then RuPaul like decides from there. Like, I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So the Ink Masters, apparently this is according to Pia on Twitter, Ink Masters canceled their live finale and all three finalists received a cash prize. So I don't know if they would do something like that. Like, that's an insane all-star.
Y'all already came off the heels of that all-star shenanigans. Yeah. Like, y'all don't do that shit again. Don't do that again.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just have to stay tuned and see.
It's possible Ru could just like have them each do a lip sync, like virtual lip sync, and then just name the winner. Like not through a lip sync competition, but just like, you know, to you know, quote unquote impress Ru one last time, and then name a winner like they did back, you know, through seasons 1 through 8.
Well, and that would make sense. They could do a top three, right? Because then it doesn't have to be a bracket, right? Yeah. So you just just eliminate Sherry Pie. You just have the final three. You do it that way. And then you have the winner announced. I could definitely see something like that.
But then. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because okay. I was about to make the point.
We
I
don't
was like,
know. Yes.
We
I
was don't about know. To the answer. Like,
yeah. Because if they do the final four and if. But that was never mind. Okay. Okay.
Untucked this week was boring. So yes. I don't know if anybody's. Sure. To say.
Actually, I didn't watch it again because, again, it taped after. Like, it's not my show. I gotta look at my freaking DVR. It's not taping Untucked, and I'm really annoyed about it.
Because you have to, it's 3.5 hours.
I don't know why. It's because it's my DVR is taping a Secret Celebrity Drag Race, but for some reason, it's not grabbing Untucked. I don't know why it's not because it's Drag Race. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. Well, next week we get the mini challenge of puppets is back. Whew, thank God. So excited. And then our main challenge is going to be a one woman show with Whoopi Goldberg as our guest, which I'm looking forward to. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's can talk we just about- say one yeah. note that it was how coincidental it was that both Heidi and Jackie wore 70s outfits for a 70s lip sync?
Get your tinfoil hat, people. It's a conspiracy. If they were like, we have to make this themed, so the two bitches with the disco outfits, you're gonna be lip syncing,
right?
Okay, let's talk about Secret Celebrity Drag Race. Brent, how did you feel about this episode?
This was a lot of fun. I didn't have as much fun as I did last week with the three guys who were on the show, but I still had a fantastic time. I couldn't believe it when Vanessa Williams walked out. Again, I'm 45 years old, so I was alive when Vanessa Williams was crowned the first Black Miss America, right? Was it Miss America or Miss USA? I forget.
I think it was Miss America.
Miss America. And I was there when her crown was taken away from her. I remember being in the car with my mom and we heard the news come on the radio. We were like, you know, traveling somewhere. And they said her crown was taken away on the radio. And I was like, why was her crown taken away?
I never knew that.
Yeah. And my mom was like, because like they found all these nudie pictures of her. And I'm like, and? Like, she won. How can they take it away from her? Had no concept of the world at the time when I was 8 years old. Hello. She is the epitome of a good comeback because she lost everything and then came back stronger and has been giving us the best for last for the past 25 years. And we are loving her for it. So I love Vanessa Williams.
Also, I did see on her Wikipedia page, it's been updated where they have all of her titles. So Miss America, Miss New York, Miss Syracuse, America's Next Celebrity Drag Race Superstar is right there at the top, which I loved. Aman, what did you think about this episode?
I really enjoyed this episode. It made my heart warm that all the contestants were Black women and older Black women. I thought that was like a nice touch. Lonnie Love, listen, I love her. But I'm so appreciative of just how much emotion she was willing to share with us. But she was going through something in this episode because she was just in tears. Every other segment, I'm like, what's going on, mama? Like, it's, are you okay? Like, but she, it was clearly having an effect on her. And I'm glad that she was there because it felt like she really needed it. So I think that this was like a much more heartfelt and emotional and more warm of an episode than the premiere. And I feel like they might be ramping it up, you know, in terms of like the secret celebrityness of it all, because I'm not as familiar with Tammy Roman because I don't watch Basketball Wives
or, yeah, I had no idea who she was.
Or any of that.
Yeah.
But I did know who she was. So it looks like, at least for me, I feel like they might be climbing a stair and, you know, how how well known these celebrities are going to be, because all three of these people I was definitely more familiar with than last week. So it was, I thought that it was really, really cool. I thought that Tammy Roman was just her energy was so infectious. I love the fact that her and Alyssa were partners because I felt like they just felt like kindred spirits to me. She Need a Cocktail, all of that was just so funny.
Loved
and
it.
Fresh. And,
yes.
I take your point about Vanessa Williams. I'm also a bit of a Vanessa Williams stan. I was first introduced to her through a little movie called Johnson Family's Family Vacation. And I loved her in that. And so I just, yeah, it's just, I felt like now that I actually have an idea of what the show is about, this one felt a little bit more smooth to me. I love the fact that they chose to do, a Rusical. I thought that was like a nice touch for the three of them as well. I just love this episode all around. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah. Liana, really quickly. I love Vanessa Williams, but I have loved her so much because I am an awards show fan. You know how like Aman is a Disney stan. I'm like an awards show stan. Okay. Or like an awards show gay. And so there was a time where Vanessa Williams was nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a comedy series at the Emmys. And it was for Ugly Betty. And it was like Amy Poehler and a bunch of other people. And Amy Poehler got all of the women who were in the category to do like these weird eyeglasses. Like one had a sunglasses, one had like these big glasses, one had like a monocle, one had like a little disguises, right? Okay. And they're going through all of them and they're like, you know, Amy Poehler for Saturday Night Live, and then, you know, like Julia Louis-Dreyfus for whatever. Anyway, it was like six people who are all supporting actresses, and then Vanessa Williams. And Vanessa Williams not only doesn't have the little outfit on that everybody else who was in on the gag did, but she's also staring at the camera like, I'm too famous for this shit. No, I'm not doing it. I will tweet this out. This is good shit. And so, yeah, Vanessa Williams, we love you. And I didn't know who the fuck Tammy Roman was. She was a lot of fun and I loved her energy throughout this episode. I'll agree with Aman on that. But I didn't think she was a very good drag performer, because when she came out on the stage, you could definitely tell the difference between Vanessa Williams and Lonnie Love and somebody like Tammy Roman, who clearly doesn't have much of a stage background, because Tammy wasn't giving us drag. She wasn't giving us drag lip sync. She was just sort of lip syncing like you lip sync to the spoken word. Like, her mouth wasn't big. She wasn't giving it energy. She wasn't doing it extra. Like, it was just like mouthing the words. Do you know where I'm coming from on that or not?
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely feel you. I think that that they both had a better idea of what they were supposed to do. And the fact that Vanessa Williams is a pageant girl already. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Pageant girl. So she sort of like had, she knew how to carry herself on stage more so than the Tammy would have. And her and RuPaul have been friends for decades. So maybe a little favoritism going on here, a little tinfoil hat still.
Well, and she was a judge, right? Vanessa has been a judge twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit of that going on. But I was actually really interested. I was just thinking about the logic behind this episode being the second episode versus the first episode. I don't know. Maybe if this is kind of what they're going for is like, we either wanted to pair this with the like makeover challenge because it was all women. Now we have like women as competitors, or because Vanessa, well, I knew all three of these people. I did not know any of the people. Well, I knew Nico, but just I knew his name. Whereas like I was familiar with all three of these people. So I thought that was like kind of an interesting choice because obviously none of these have to be in order. But anyway, and it was great seeing Asia, Trinity, and Alyssa back on our screens as well. I think that is.
What did Asia say when she came out?
Let's make these butterflies like fly or something.
Yes. Let's see if we can teach these butterflies how to fly.
Yeah, that was so good. Ugh, what a good sense of humor. You like have to.
I know, right?
So we're halfway through, I guess, Secret Celebrity Drag Race. So we'll have two more episodes of that coming up in the next couple of weeks. But I think that wraps everything up for us. So let's get out of here. Brent, how are you doing? What are you up to?
I'm going to be podcasting this evening. So probably after you guys listen to this and it's downloaded into the feed. But there is an amazing game of Sequester that's going to be played tonight between a bunch of Twitchers and YouTubers and actors and entertainers. And our own Amon Adwin is playing in it. Taryn Armstrong is playing in it. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be on Kirsten McInnes's channel calling the action during the breaks. And I'm hoping for an Amon Taryn final two. I'm here for it. Anyway, that's where I'll be. You can always find me at One Lucky Gay on Twitter. That's one spelled out O-N-E. And I'm living my best life. How you doing?
And well, Amon, you are playing in the game tonight, although probably by the time most people hear this, you will have hopefully won, right?
Hopefully. I'm gonna do my damnedest. But yes, you can also follow me at Amon Adwin and check out all the stuff that I got going on over there.
All right. And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. This week for the RHAP B&B, Mike and I talked to Lauren Beck from Survivor Season 39. She was a freaking hoot. So we play some insane games. She was down for all of it and just really enjoyed our time talking to Lauren. Look out for that. Mm-hmm. Also talking about The Masked Singer with Puya. That's going on. So listen, okay? Also, become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Check out patreon.com. Leave us star ratings and reviews on iTunes for the Drag Race wrap up. Shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.